Corinthians chapter 12. And this is where we're going to start. Father, we commit this time now in your word to you. We ask, Lord, that you would teach us. Lord, I pray that as your people, we would be more in tune with your spirit, that we would be more open to your spirit, that we would be led by your spirit, empowered by your spirit. Father, I pray that you would reveal wisdom and knowledge tonight to your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Our topic on Wednesday night is spiritual gifts. And we've been actually in Ephesians 4 for a number of weeks. But tonight we get back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And let's go ahead and read the first seven verses. Maybe backtrack a little and get caught up. It says in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away to these dumb idols. However, you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all." The glorious New Testament truth is the fact that God wants to use his people. He wants to use us. He wants to use Christians. And he's called us to play certain roles in the body of Christ, and he's equipped us and he's given us gifts to be used in the expansion of the kingdom for his glory. This is a marvelous, marvelous truth. And just so you can be reminded, I personally believe that there are three types of giftings that a believer can have. Three different ways that the Holy Spirit can gift a person. And you see that in verses 4, 5, and 6. You see different words. There are diversities of gifts. There are differences of ministries. There are diversities of activities. Three different ways to describe how Christians are gifted by the Lord, by the Holy Spirit. The first that we've considered is ministries. I believe that speaks of offices, positions, roles in the body of Christ, specific places. And we have looked at that in detail in Ephesians chapter 4. I believe there is the position of the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor teacher. And the Lord has anointed some within the body of Christ to fill those roles. There are other giftings, however, that I believe are open to all Christians regardless of your position. And I think that's what the other two words here in 1 Corinthians 12 speak of, and I see two sorts of categories, two ways to look at them. In verse 4, there are diversity of gifts. I believe that that refers to abilities that the Holy Spirit gives to believers, Christians. These are gifted abilities that a Christian has and flows in it all the time, and it's consistently being used in his life or her life. speaking of things like teaching, exhortation, giving, those types of things that the Holy Spirit gives certain members of the body of Christ that they use consistently. There's that. And then in verse 6, it says there are diversity of activities. Literally, energies, powers. And I believe that that refers to manifestations of the Holy Spirit in the life of a believer that are for a certain place at a certain time under the sovereign control of the Holy Spirit. This would speak of things like healings, the gift of miracles, the word of knowledge or the word of wisdom. I believe that those are manifestations of the Holy Spirit that can operate at any time, anywhere, within any member of the body of Christ. But those aren't things that somebody is always consistently flowing in and operating in. They're manifestations of the Holy Spirit that come at certain times under the sovereign control of the Spirit. Of those gifts, both the consistent ones and the specific manifestation, the New Testament speaks of 15. And I want to look at each one of those over the next several weeks, do one or two at a time. And tonight we want to look at the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom. Look what Paul says in verse 8. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. Those are gifts of the Holy Spirit. The word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, and they are marvelous, wonderful, awesome, important gifts. Before we talk about the gifts, I want you to consider wisdom and knowledge in general. In the Bible, there is a difference between wisdom and knowledge. They are obviously very closely related. But there's a subtle difference. Wisdom in the Bible, the Greek word sophia, speaks of a high, broad, deep understanding of life, spiritual truth, the ways of the Lord. Wisdom is upper level. Wisdom is big picture stuff. When you think of wisdom, you should probably in your mind think of a wise old man, an old scholar who has all sorts of insight into all kinds of things through a lifetime of study and experience. That's wisdom, a broad, full gamut sort of thing. Knowledge, or gnosis in the Greek language, is lower. It's more practical than wisdom. It's an understanding of facts, specific information. It's more practical than wisdom. Knowledge is the accumulation of facts. Wisdom is the application of facts to life. You with me? Knowledge tells a person that the bright orange burner on the stove is hot. Wisdom tells you don't touch it. Wisdom is the forest. Wisdom sees the forest. Knowledge sees the trees. Wisdom sees the overall project. Knowledge sees the nitty-gritty, the nuts and bolts. That's the idea. That's the subtle difference. And you know, best case scenario is that we have both. Wisdom and knowledge. There are people that have all the knowledge, it seems, in the world. They're brilliant, but they don't have wisdom and they make a mess of their life. And they're clueless about top level sorts of things. And then every now and then you'll run across the guy who seems to be theoretical about everything, head in the clouds, everything's pie in the sky, and they couldn't tie their own shoelaces. You need both wisdom and knowledge. And I have wonderful news for us as Christians tonight. God wants all Christians to be wise and knowledgeable. And wisdom and knowledge is available to every single Christian. Every Christian can be wise and have knowledge in general, and it has nothing to do with education or anything like that. You don't have to be listed in the who's who to know what's what. You can have knowledge and wisdom. And I tell that to you tonight because the Bible says so. In the Old Testament, there is a book that's dedicated to wisdom. What's that book? How many of you know? Proverbs. Proverbs is an Old Testament book that encourages Christians, God's people, to pursue wisdom and understanding. Proverbs tells us that wisdom is more important than anything else, monetarily or materialistically. Solomon, as you know, the writer of that book, found that out. Remember, God gave him the opportunity to wish for anything that he wanted? Whatever you want, Solomon, you can have. What would you have wished for? What did Solomon wish for? Wisdom. And he was given wisdom. And God said, since you asked for wisdom, I'll throw everything else in that you could have asked for but didn't. Wisdom is to be pursued. It says very clearly in Proverbs, wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. And in all you're getting, get understanding. The New Testament tells us that we can get wisdom as well. James chapter 1 verse 5 says, if any of you, Christian, lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Every Christian can become wise and knowledgeable in general. If you lack wisdom, you could ask God for it, and it says he'll give it to you. And by the way, James says, if you lack wisdom, ask for it. I have met some Christians who take James 1:5 and think that that promises that God will give you specific answers. That if you ask God to show you specific answers, well, then God will write it in the sky. No, it doesn't say that. It says, if you lack wisdom. So if you have three choices before you, A, B, C, and you pray for wisdom, that doesn't mean God is going to tell you to choose A. That means God is going to give you the wisdom to figure out which is the best choice and make the choice. Wisdom. We can get it. All of us. We can all become wise in life, in spiritual truth, and in the ways of the Lord. And that starts by fearing the Lord, right? The beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. Or looking into the scriptures and make us wise unto salvation and wise unto living. Spending some time in God's word. You'll get wise. You'll be wiser beyond your years and beyond your life's experience. Take time to study the book of Proverbs. Submit yourself to the Lord and be obedient to what he has shown you, and you'll become wiser. There is an absolute principle in Scripture that God won't give you any more light than the light that you obey. Submit yourself to the Lord and you can become wise, no question. The gift of wisdom, the word of wisdom, and the word of knowledge is different from wisdom and knowledge in general. It's different from the reservoir of wisdom and knowledge that you might build up over your life, Christian. It's different. Let me show you how. Again, look at verse 8. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. To another, the word of knowledge through the Spirit. The word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, that word, is the Greek word logos, and it means to speak. To tell something, an utterance. There is a gift of the Holy Spirit by which God will give a Christian a word, an utterance, a word of wisdom or a word of knowledge to speak. And this comes through the Holy Spirit. It says, a word of wisdom through the Spirit, a word of knowledge through the Spirit. This is the Holy Spirit working in the life of a believer by which a specific word of wisdom or knowledge is provided for that situation. And as I said, it goes beyond your wisdom and your knowledge. What we're talking about tonight isn't something that you can just always tap into. It's supernatural. It's a spiritual word of wisdom, a spiritual word of knowledge. Those are the gifts. That is the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. So what are these things? What is a word of wisdom? Let's start with that one first. A word of wisdom. Kind of as a summary and kind of as just to whet your appetite. When you think of the gift, the word of wisdom, think of something that settles. Think of something that calms a situation, a storm, if you will. A word of wisdom is when the Holy Spirit gives a Christian a word to speak that resolves an issue, solves a problem, clears the air, reconciles people. Also, when you think of a word of wisdom, think of something that brings clarity or direction to some kind of a situation. When God gives a believer a word of wisdom, they are given clarity beyond what they know about a certain issue or problem. And they're able to share that with other people that they may be talking to. The best way to understand the word of wisdom is to look and see how it operated in the Bible. And certainly the word of wisdom would go all the way back to Solomon. Remember King Solomon, the wisest man? There's a great example from his life of how the word of wisdom operates. You remember that time where two women, they had both given birth to babies, and they both went to sleep one night, and one of the mothers slept on her child. And that child ended up suffocating and dying. In the morning, she got up and she changed babies. And the mother of the living baby found out what was going on. And there was a big dispute. And they took their case to King Solomon. Can you see these two hysterical mothers? Trying to figure out which one really is the mother of that child. And it's her word against her word. Comes before King Solomon, and you remember what King Solomon did? Give me a sword.
Okay.
They brought him a sword. And he said, I'm going to cut this baby right in two, and I'll give half to each mom. And one of the moms goes,
sounds okay to me.
And the other mom says, no, give it to the other one. And Solomon, by doing that, was able to determine who the real mother was. That is a good example of a word of wisdom. There's this difficult, horrible sort of dispute and situation, and a person who belongs to the Lord is given a word of wisdom that just calms it. Just solves it. Everyone in the room goes, yes, that's right. That's the word of wisdom at work. Jesus exercised the word of wisdom in his ministry. I want to take you to my favorite example of that. Turn to Matthew chapter 22. Oh, I love this story. I love how wise our Lord is. You know, those Pharisees were always trying to trap Jesus, remember? With words. Well, in Matthew chapter 22, verse 15, it says, the Pharisees went and plotted how they might entangle him, Jesus, in his talk. And they sent to him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, teacher, we know that you are true and teach the way of God in truth. Nor do you care about anyone, for you do not regard the person of men. Tell us, therefore, what do you think? Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? What are they doing? I mean, this is in public. There's a whole bunch of people around. Is it lawful for us to pay taxes to Rome? If he says yes, then all the Jews go away mad because they hated that. If he says no, then they run to the Roman authorities and accuse Jesus of starting an insurrection. It was an absolute trap. Look what Jesus said. In verse 18, Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, why do you test me, you hypocrites? Show me the tax money. So they brought him a denarius. And he said to them, whose image and inscription is this? They said to him, Caesar's. And he said to them, render therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar's and to God the things that are God's. When they heard these words, they marveled and left him and went their way. The word of wisdom. There's a trap set. Jesus needs to defend himself. He says the exact right thing that needs to be said. That's the word of wisdom. Proverbs chapter 25 says, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and settings of silver. That's the word of wisdom. Look how we see it in operation in the early church. Go to Acts chapter 6. Verse 1 of Acts chapter 6, the early church has a big, big problem. There's a dispute. Now in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplying, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. Then the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, it is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Look at verse 5. And the saying pleased the whole multitude. Word of wisdom. Difficult problem in a church. One group fighting against another group. Fingers pointing. Accusations being made. Somebody comes forth with a word of wisdom and it settles it. It calms it. It clears it all up. It was one of those things that pleased everyone. They saw it. There's another great example of that in Acts chapter 15. I won't have you turn there, but just so you remember, that's when they had the Jerusalem Council. You remember that story in the New Testament? Well, right when the early church was born, it was mostly comprised of Jews. But when the Gentiles started getting saved, there were all sorts of problems. Gentiles are getting saved? And some of the Jewish believers said, well, they need to follow the law of Moses. They need to be circumcised. They need to abide by the law of the Old Testament and be under that law. And Paul the Apostle, of course, would say, no, they don't. We're all doing Christ. We're part of the church. And there was a big, big disagreement about that issue in the early church, folks. There was almost a church split over that issue. And it became so serious that everyone got together in Jerusalem. They had a meeting. Picture a church meeting, a board meeting, some sort of business meeting. All the different personalities tackling the problem. One person stands up and says this. Another person stands up and says this. Well, if you read the account, it says that James, who was the pastor of the church in Jerusalem at that time, stood up and came up with a suggestion, and it says that it pleased everyone. And they wrote a letter, which they then sent to the Gentile believers. Paul and Barnabas brought it with them back to Antioch, and they read that letter to the Gentile Christians. And you know what happened? They were all pleased with it. That's the word of wisdom. I believe the word of wisdom is so important and so, so wonderful when in operation. I do believe that the word of wisdom is available today. And I believe that the Lord can use us at any time in that way. I believe that the word of wisdom is used primarily to stop fights, to stop quarrels, to bring people together, to resolve issues. It's so needed. I saw the word of wisdom in operation when I was younger. My parents, I grew up in a Christian home, and they used to have like a kinship group, you know, a Bible study group at their house. And one particular night, they had an evangelist come over who was out of town. And this guy was a little fiery. You ever met a fiery evangelist? You know what I'm talking about? Brimstone, fire, hell, judgment, that type. And he had preached the Sunday before, and he gave a real, you know, tough, hard sermon on the dangers of hell. And he came and spoke with this little house group that met in my parents' home. And an argument broke out. There was one half of the room that said, you know, you shouldn't do that. You shouldn't preach hell like that. Shouldn't be done. What are you trying to do? Scare people into heaven? And there was a group that got real angry. They said, you should preach the repentance, the kindness of God that leads a person to repentance, the love of God. And there were that people that said, don't get tough with the judgment, preach God's grace. But then there was another part of the group that said, no, you gotta preach hell. You gotta get tough. And I'm a kid. And I remember watching grown adults mad at each other, arguing across the room over that issue. Just when it got most heated, there was an older man who was a part of the group, and he hadn't really said anything the whole time. But he noticed a candlestick that was burning in the office or in the living room, one of those long candlesticks, and it was burning up at the top. And he got up and he said, everybody be quiet. And he blew the candle out and took the candle out of the candlestick. And he said, this candle represents the way to salvation. Some people get saved through the preaching of God's judgment. Others get saved through the preaching of God's grace. You're burning the same candle, guys, just at different ends. The house, silent. Everyone sat down and went, yes, this is good. This is sweet. This is correct. This is accurate. That is the word of wisdom. I think the word of wisdom also operates when we need increased clarity when we're speaking to someone. Have you ever been witnessing to somebody and you get asked a question that you have no idea how to answer? And you just kind of go, blah, 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 blah. But then all of a sudden, out comes a scripture. Or out comes a truth. Out comes a doctrine that you never even had full grasp of. As you speak, you feel like you're being played like an instrument. The Holy Spirit has come upon you at that moment and has given you a word of wisdom. It's awesome. It's wonderful. We need it. Now that I've explained it, and we've looked at how it's used in the New Testament, and even considered how Solomon used it, perhaps you can look back in your life and see where another Christian was using the gift of the word of wisdom. Or maybe even now, you can look back in your own life and see how God used you at one point, gave you a word of wisdom. Do you understand that that was supernatural? That was a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. It was beautiful. It's wonderful. It's needed. And just so you know, I do believe that that's a supernatural gift of the Holy Spirit that operates normally in a very normal, ordinary way. Guys, when you're given a word of wisdom, sirens don't go on. And you don't have to hush the crowd and say, listen up. Words of wisdom are about to spew forth from my lips. Everybody listen. God gives it to you in a very natural way, yet it's supernatural. The word of wisdom. Now, again, I do not believe that a Christian is always operating in the word of wisdom. I don't think somebody consistently has that gift where they're always given all the, you know, Mr. Wise Guy, always with all the answers. I believe that that is a specific manifestation of the Holy Spirit that can happen at any time in any Christian at the right time needed under the sovereign control of the Holy Spirit, the word of wisdom. All right, let's talk about the word of knowledge now. Remember, knowledge is more lower level. It's facts, right? It's specific. It's specific information. The word of knowledge is when the Holy Spirit gives a believer specific facts and information about somebody else or some other situation. The word of knowledge is when God reveals, so to speak, other people's secrets to another Christian. They're somehow able to see hidden information, information about another person's life given to them by the Holy Spirit. They could not have come up with it by themselves. The word of knowledge. The absolute best way to understand this one is to look how it's operated and used in the New Testament. Jesus used the word of knowledge. And I want to take you to the best example of the word of knowledge in the life of Jesus. Turn to John chapter 4. This is that wonderful chapter, folks, where Jesus and his disciples, Jesus makes his disciples go through Samaria. You remember? And Jesus meets the woman at the well of Samaria. Let's pick it up in chapter 4, verse 7. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it was who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where then do you get the living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself as well as his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered and said to her, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water that I may not thirst nor come here to draw." Now watch. Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come here." The woman answered and said, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You have well said, 'I have no husband,' for you have five husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband. In that you spoke truly." The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet." That is word of knowledge. Jesus knew facts about that woman. That she had five husbands. That she was now living with a man. And he told her about it. And she says, "You're a prophet, and you know how the story goes." She'll run into the village. She'll get all of her friends. She'll say, "Come meet the man who told me things that I did. Who never knew me." And there's a great revival that takes place in that city. That's the word of knowledge. Now you say, well, Jesus can do things like that, right? That's Jesus. Turn with me to Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5, the early church is growing. People are getting saved. They're becoming a part of the church. And the church is getting along together. They're selling their possessions and they're sort of living in a communal type arrangement. Certain people in the church have sold their property and given that money for the benefit of the whole church. Well, check out what Ananias and Sapphira try to do. Acts chapter 5, verse 1. "But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession, and he kept back part of the proceeds, his wife also being aware of it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, 'Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You've not lied to men, but to God.' Then Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and breathed his last. So great fear came upon all those who heard these things." The word of knowledge. Here's a couple that was trying to make themselves look more spiritual by saying, "Hey, we sold a piece of property and we're given all the income of that. And we know that they've only given half of it. They've held the other half back." Peter didn't know that. Peter gets that information by the Holy Spirit. He's able to see what that couple is doing, and he calls them on it. That's the word of knowledge. How many of you would hang out with somebody who consistently had the word of knowledge? I believe that that is a gift of the Holy Spirit. And if we knew that more people had that, maybe that would purify the local church a little bit. I believe that it is still a valid gift. It is a specific manifestation of the Holy Spirit for a specific time, in a specific situation. Again, all under the sovereign control of the Holy Spirit. And I believe that it is important that sometimes the Holy Spirit would reveal to one Christian a secret problem of another Christian. Whether it be a behavior, an attitude, some kind of a habit or sin. I believe that can happen. She's not here. She's in the other room helping the kids, but Kim has been used in that capacity. Now, I don't want to scare you away from my wife, Kim. And she definitely doesn't have it all the time. Remember, this isn't something that you can tap into all the time. It's different. It comes randomly, it almost seems. But we know it's under the sovereign control. There have been times where my wife has been shown by the Holy Spirit that there is a couple that's in trouble. There's been a time where there was a couple, and they're gone now. It's been many years. Probably many of you don't even know them, so don't even try to guess. But there was a couple where there was adultery involved on behalf of the husband. And my wife knew it months before it broke. She had just, the Holy Spirit had shown that to her. And I do believe that it's important that that can happen sometimes. And by the way, listen, if that ever happens to you, that's not so you can become the life of the gossip party. That's not so you go around and hurt people. God has given you that understanding, that revelation, that you might pray for that person and love on that person. And maybe eventually at one time, when the time is right, approach that person about it. I have seen the gift of knowledge work. And it does work quite a bit. Looking back, it can happen a lot in a counseling situation. When a pastor or a Christian is counseling another person one-on-one or a couple. There you are. You've got the Bible open. You're praying. The Holy Spirit is there. And there have been times in my life where I'm counseling someone and I just have to ask, it just comes to me. You're struggling with alcohol, aren't you? Yeah. You're struggling with this, and yet they haven't been forthright. That's a word of knowledge. And again, it doesn't happen all the time. But when the Holy Spirit shows that, oh man, it's beautiful. And you can see repentance. I've seen the word of knowledge operate from the pulpit. And having absolutely no idea that it's operating. As many of you know, when I go through a Bible study, many times I'll pull out different illustrations. And you should know, sometimes there's illustrations that I'll just think of and sort of make up on the spot, right on the fly. Maybe talk about so-and-so or some person did this, la-di-da-di-da-di-da. There have been times where I've done that, and I find out the next week that somebody thinks I was talking about them. And they've even, like, talked to people. Did you guys tell Pastor Terry about my life? And I don't know them. The word of knowledge has been exercised. And again, it's not showy. It's not, you know, super spiritual. Many times you will operate in that gift and not even know it. But God gets somebody's attention through something that you say, which reveals a fact. The word of knowledge. Now, we think about in this gift where God reveals maybe a secret sin from another about another Christian. But I want you to think of it also in a different way. The gift also operates in that the Holy Spirit will oftentimes give a Christian understanding of somebody else's secret need. A family in the church that's struggling and is too proud to tell anybody and ask anybody for help. A person who is struggling with an illness and they don't come forward, they don't share, they don't want anybody to know, I don't want to bother anyone, you know. Or somebody has some kind of a materialistic need and they keep it quiet. Many times, if the people of God were listening to the Holy Spirit would reveal a word of knowledge concerning the needs of other people around them. You know, Lord, show me those that are hurting in this fellowship. Open my eyes. Reveal. Pray things like that. I've been the recipient of a blessing of the word of knowledge. Kim and I were so blessed when we first moved here to El Paso. You know, we came down, we got down here, and you know, I took another job, which is about half the pay that I used to get. I did some other things. We made some sacrifices to get here, which was no big deal. Loved to do it. I knew that God wanted me here. But Kim and I wanted to be able to get into a house when Lindsay was about to be born. And we didn't want Kim to have to work full time. And getting into this house would require some money that we didn't have. And we just continued to sort of pray about it. And it was one of those things where I didn't want it to be known. This really happened. We got a check in the mail for a little over what we needed. And it came from a couple that I have never met. Ever. Once. It came from a couple that was a kind of a long lost friend of my brother's, who lives up in Albuquerque. Somehow heard through the grapevine that I'd moved to El Paso and we tried to start a church here. And my brother tells me to this day, I made him promise. Did you tell them about our need? He said, I never did. Never once. Somehow, some way, God put on the heart of a couple that didn't know me that he's supposed to help that guy financially. Now, there's two gifts going on there. What are they? The gift of knowledge and the gift of giving. Folks, that's exciting. You can be such a blessing to a brother or sister in Christ. We just had our eyes open a little. The word of knowledge. The word of wisdom. Important, special, wonderful, awesome gifts of the Holy Spirit. And I would ask that you would consider that. That you would look back over your life and see maybe where God has used you in it. And you'd be open to it again. And remember, God wants all of us to be wise and knowledgeable. So don't just be waiting around for your word of wisdom every 10 years. Or your word of knowledge every 10 years. Let's discipline ourselves to get as knowledgeable and wise about life, about spiritual truth and the ways of the Lord as possible by fearing Him, submitting to Him and reading His word. Amen. The whole secret to the Christian life is staying close to the Lord. Maintaining a relationship with Him. You stay close to Him, you'll become wise. You stray from Him, you won't. I close with a verse from Psalm 25, verse 14, which says, "The secret of the Lord is with those who fear Him." The secret of the Lord is with those who fear Him. The secrets belong to those who hang with the Lord and spend time with Him. That's where you become wise. That's where you become knowledgeable. And that's where you are given more insight into how you can help others. How you can smooth things over. Clear the air. Be more open to the Holy Spirit. Amen? Father, give us more experience in your gifts. Not in a way that's out of order, but in a way that's in perfect order, according to how you describe in your word. I once again pray for this fellowship, for this body. I pray, Lord, that there would be a renewal of dependence upon the Holy Spirit, your Spirit, at this fellowship. We do want to see you move in mighty ways through our lives. We want to find our roles. We want to find our gifts. We want to be used by you. And so I ask, Lord, that you would reveal to those tonight who are searching, seeking, those who are totally open, Lord, show them. And Lord, I pray for those who are aware of the gift that you've given, that they would even grow more fruitful in their use with it. And then, Lord, I would pray for anyone here tonight who does not have a relationship with you. You might have wandered into this Bible study tonight and you don't know the Lord. Just like Jesus told the Samaritan woman at the well, you can have water that's living water and you'll never, ever thirst again. And that satisfaction is found in a relationship with Jesus Christ. And I don't want you to leave this place this evening if you have a question that's not been answered about how you can get right with the Lord. And if that's you, I'm going to be available up here right after this last song. And you can just share with me. And I'd love to share with you. Bless your people, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand and sing a song to finish.